The revolution will not be televised. The revolution is here.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody. Hi, welcome to the Knuckle Sandwich Podcast, the holiday edition. I'm your host, Kenny Stevenson, and my guest is the first returning guest. He was the first guest and also the first returning guest. You are a series of firsts.
Well, I think you have some sort of regular rotation going, so it's only fitting.
I do, yeah. Next week's going to be Roy Jenkins again. It's only going to be seven guests, period, for the entire length of the show, which is going to go on for 45 years. I have you under contract.
It's kind of like volleyball. You just kind of rotate positions. So I'm back at server again.
You're really serving, which is great. I'm Kenny Stevenson, and this, again, is the show in which comedians, comics, whatever you want to label us as, talk about sports, because every comic, at least, except certain ones who I've asked to do the show, are sports fans. That's only funny to me. So, it's the holidays, and before we start talking about Sketchfest, because that's obviously the big news in your life. Why did that just stop? There we go.
I don't know. Did we even say that it was me? I don't think we did.
I'm sorry to say your name. Cole Stratton.
That's me. Hey.
I just assumed everybody knew.
Right.
Because everyone's listened to the first one. Listened to
so
this
many
one.
Times.
I will say this. Of all the... Yours has the most downloads.
Four?
No, like 68 or 70.
Really?
Something, I swear to God.
Sweet.
I get like 40 or 50 downloads on my podcast.
How do you find this out?
It's through
Nielsen's.
It's a whole deal. Yeah, I've got people. I have a whole development team. They're all interns from Loyola Marymount University.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
they're good peeps.
They're good. Well, yeah, they're good Catholic kids. So, because I know I am a Catholic as well in name, and so yeah. But no, your down has the most. So I'm like, we got to get those ratings up for the holidays. Let's bring back the powerhouse guests. Everyone wants to hear about it. But what are your holiday plans?
Well, after I go through my sophomore slump here on the podcast,
let's just not make this like Pinkerton or Paul's Boutique in terms of sales.
It'll be the podcast that's like misunderstood
at first, but then seven years
later, people are like, "Oh, that was the best one."
Yeah, it's the Pinkerton Paul's Boutique podcast. This
exactly,
is it. This is
the
it.
One. Holiday plans. Well, Kenny Stevenson.
Yeah. Cole Stratton.
I'm actually heading up to Davis and Chico, where I split time between my family and my wife's family.
So. Oh, she's from Chico?
She's from Chico, yeah.
God, I love that you guys are from, like, prevalent college towns.
Yep.
Like, most people drive, they go back, like, I'm from Orange County, so I'll be going nowhere. Then that's metaphorical and literal. You know, big towns, like, hey, I'm going back to Chicago, or I'm going back to Seattle. I'm going back to Davis and Chico. Like, college towns. For anyone in California who knows what those places are.
Yep, that's pretty much what they're known for.
So since we're here talking about Davis, what Davis is about an hour north of Sacramento, correct?
Kind of.
Ish.
It's about 20 minutes away from Sac. About an hour and 15 minutes away from San Francisco.
Okay, so Davis, there's a UC school there, for those of you who don't know. It's not just UCLA and UC Berkeley. There's also UCI, UC San Diego, there's also UC Davis, Division One, the Aggies.
Right. They're
the
big
West Conference.
They're a big agricultural school, thus the Aggies.
Well, I went to Cal Poly San Luis Obispo, so believe me, I know my rival agricultural schools in the state of California. Believe me. UCA Davis is a big football rival for Cal Poly, and by big I mean like somewhat larger than a normal like 7,000 seat game. Anyway, last time you were at Davis, you were at the football game.
Who were they playing? Montana, I want to say.
The University of Montana, which just by the way played for the 1AA or what's called the Football Championship Subdivision, whatever the fuck that means, the FCS. They just played for the national title last weekend.
I think it was actually Butte Learning Annex. I don't know. I think it was Montana. I don't know precisely, but I believe that's what it was.
Whatever.
And no, it was a fairly entertaining game until the very end when it got ridiculously entertaining in a weird way.
Okay,
here's why, Kenny Stevenson.
Thanks.
I'm
letting you set up your own stories. I could have gone like, well, you know, and I heard it got kind of weird in an interesting way. Cole?
Thanks, Mr. Carson. Well, what happened was is they had changed the start time on the football game by about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And we're getting towards the end of the game. UC Davis is down by 7 points. They're driving. They're about the 15-yard line. It's fourth down. 34 seconds left, I think, in the game. They've got
mm-hmm.
one play left to run in order to see if they can tie the game.
Now, at this point, you're painted blue and gold Davis colors, correct?
if by painted blue and gold you mean sitting there wondering when the thing was going to end so I can go home, yes.
Perfect.
So it's the last play of the game, and they're just about to, you know, snap it, and all of a sudden the lights go out. The big, giant, huge lights.
And why did you explain why?
Here's why. The lights are on timers, and the game was originally supposed to start at 7, but instead it started at 8 or 6 to 7, one of those kinds of things, right? So they didn't adjust the light schedule to reflect that, so it just went into its power saver mode and clicked off right before this last play. So at first everybody was kind of confused. Thankfully it didn't happen mid-play or anything.
Yeah.
But they basically figured out that they had to wait for them to cool back down fully before they could power them back up. So it was like a 25-minute delay before they could run the last play of the game, which resulted in nothing, by the way.
you would think with all that time, they could have come up with an amazing play.
And they've also equal time to come out with 25 minutes worth of defense. So,
well, sometimes defensive plays are miraculous.
Yeah, and it was freezing. It was windy and freezing and awful that night, and it was kind of a test on everyone's patience to see if they
could. Well, especially you, because as you tweeted, there was an amazing gentleman in all Ed Hardy gear, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't he? Yeah, if I recall correctly, he had the Ed Hardy stitched across his ass.
He did, on his jeans and then on the back of his shirt. He looked kind of like Ving Rhames. He's like a big dude. Bald head, big old earrings, and a
Bluetooth
thing.
Black.
He was black. And a big Bluetooth thing in his ear. It was classy, let's put it that way.
I love, if we can digress for a moment, and we will.
Sure.
I love, like, my, like, hatred of anything Christian Audigé is just reached, I could talk about it all day. I love how obnoxious. I love that the show Jersey Shore is almost completely sponsored by Ed Hardy.
Yep.
I love that every asshole on that show, like when they're not out in the club wearing Ed Hardy, is wearing like Ed Hardy sweats around. It's like, I'm glad that those are the caliber of people who wear your shitty clothes. That and Michael Jackson.
You know what?
Too soon, the Michael Jackson quote?
No, that's about right.
Well, I'm gonna tell a Brittany Murphy one later. I know that's gonna be too soon.
To me, if you're wearing an Ed Hardy shirt, it's your way of saying, I used to have $75. You know? That's all it says. I don't understand why people... I don't like any sort of advertising shirts where it's whoever makes it, it's just written all over the shirt.
I'm trying to get my dog to come over here. Come
up.
She's gone. Anyway, go ahead.
If something is good looking, and you should be able to be like, hey, where'd you get that shirt? It's cool. Who makes it? And then I should tell you. That should be the reveal. I'm not a billboard.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Exactly. And I love, have you seen the new billboard? It's one right out here, and I'm pointing. If you could see where I'm pointing, you'd know exactly where I'm pointing to. It's on the corner of Venice and Robertson. No, Venice and Culver. About a block that way, actually, and my hand is pointing to the right. If you're watching at home, which you're not, there's a giant, like, it's like Christian Audigé, like out in in the snow. And he has this big like coat on. There's a bunch of wolves around him. I'm like, look, what is that supposed to be? It just says Christian Audigé. That's it.
I hope it was his last photo shoot. You know?
Yeah, I would hope.
The wolves took care of business. I don't understand why people think those shirts are great. They're like pastel. There's like. A tiger on top of a dragon.
Yeah, it's like, you know what my shirt needs is a bunch of really shitty rhinestones, like covering a giant tiger. And it has to be really, really tight. And I want it to have long sleeves, but sleeves that are so long, they cover like half my hand, but they still fit tight, like all the way down to like my wrist. It's like, what the fuck? Like, it's just.
It looks to me like somebody was just wearing a black shirt and then like a junior high art craft experiment just blew up on it.
Mm-hmm. And then they bedazzled it.
Yeah.
So it's a junior high art project, and then some fucking idiot who like paid money for a bedazzler took it home and was like, "Oh, I have an improvement for that tiger design." Oh, well, anyway, yeah. We'll save the rest of this conversation for my Ed Hardy podcast coming up later. So big news besides the fact that we both have beards. And we're growing them both because we're doing a version of a Nordic version of Hamlet at the Complex at the first of the year.
In that really tiny theater upstairs, it's like 9 seats.
I fucking hate that place so much.
It's pretty terrible.
Like, I mean, I just went to a friend's show there, and he was very good in it. And I'm gonna say this because he may listen to this, but he was very good in the show. the show itself was like, holy cow, dude, really? Like, and anytime anyone's like, oh, come see my show at the Complex, it's like, it's a guaranteed terrible show.
Period. It's, most shows are nowadays. I mean, I find that, like, a lot of theater in LA is pretty much the, you'll find my resume under the seat, cast me.
Oh, God, absolutely. Like, I say this all the time. I think, like, LA theater is, like, people who their, like, acting coach needs to them to think that they're still working. So they, like, oh, I'm gonna do a production of, like, no, like, nobody wants to see you do an Eric Bogosian play. Like, just so, like, you can remind yourself why you moved here from Kansas. Like, you know what? Like, if you really want to do theater, just go back to New York, and there's plenty of theater there. There's, like, reputable places. Mm-hmm. Like, just because you're doing, like, you know, a revival of fucking whatever it is, talk radio at, you know, some playhouse out in NoHo, it doesn't mean all of a sudden you're like, I'm working.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's my rant.
I'm with you there, Kenny Stevenson.
For my LA, thanks, Cole Stratton. So, Cole, the big news coming out of your life beyond sports, we'll talk about sports in a second. SF Sketchfest, the festival lineup has been announced.
It has.
Officially, festival starts in like 3 weeks, right?
Yeah, it's January 14th through February 2nd.
So let's just start plugging this thing. SFSketchfest.com is where you can go. You can get tickets there too, correct?
Yeah, it links to all the ticket pages.
And who are, I mean, amazing, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass, but I am. Amazing lineup this year.
Thank you. Yeah, it turned out pretty great.
Let some of the people know what the highlights are. Let's get people up there. Maybe we should look up some airline deals, some hotel deals to get people from LA and all over the world who listen to this podcast.
That's right.
To San Francisco the last 4 weeks of January.
Yeah, it's a pretty big show this year. I think we have actually almost like 95 shows over 20 days.
It's incredible. And like every major possible venue in San Francisco, Purple Onion,
yeah, pretty Eureka. Much becomes all Sketchfest related. But we got our biggest thing for us was our tribute. We do a tribute every year to somebody who's very influential on us in comedy. And this year it's to Conan O'Brien, which,
I mean, that's ridiculous.
It's pretty huge because we've been trying to, you know, hook that up for years, but I think it helps that he's finally on the West Coast.
Yes.
And you know, we've Andy Richter and Robert Smigel both done our festival, and Jimmy Pardo, who's a regular warm up on the Tonight Show, have done it. So we've got, you know, good people to vouch for it and stuff. And
that's awesome.
This is the year it worked out.
So who's going to run the tribute? Like, who's going to?
He's going to be in conversation with Jimmy Pardo, and then awesome. Andy Richter's going to make an appearance on it too.
Does he know that Andy Richter's going to make an appearance?
Yeah, he knows. Oh, he knows.
Okay.
There's other things we're trying to work out too, but who knows if that'll come together for the
Hello.
Show.
Hello. Let's keep it as surprises. Let's not let everyone know.
There's a lot of good stuff on that show.
And then what else?
We have our first Monty Python member, Terry Jones.
Fantastic.
He's coming to the festival. So we're going to do a screening of Holy Grail at the Castro, which is this magnificent movie palace in San Francisco. It's like 1,400 seats. It's beautiful. And he's going to be in conversation with Carl Anheider's Inside Joke Show, which basically kind of goes into the craft of acting and stuff after the screening and stuff. And then later that night, Terry Jones is going to introduce a screening of Life of Brian, same venue.
Jesus, that right there is like enough reason to get off your ass in Silver Lake and, you know, go to your couch cushions and get some gas and drive up to San Francisco.
But there's just rattle off names. You can
please just
shows,
rattle
but,
them off.
Weird Al Yankovic,
fellow Cal Poly alumnus.
There
I
you
just
go.
To out there, where he was also at the radio station as I was as well. Anyway,
in fact, how about this? I'm gonna give you an artist and you're gonna tell me their alma mater.
Okay.
So yeah, Weird Al Yankovic.
Cal Poly San Luis Obispo.
Thank you. John Hodgman.
Middle Tennessee State.
the cast of Reno 911.
They all went to Sacramento State.
Really? I didn't know that
they all did. Yeah, that's where they met, actually. That's where Tom Lennon and Ben Garant, that's where they started before they moved to New York to do this thing.
Who knew?
Anywho.
Dick Cavett.
I'm not going to keep doing that joke. Just go ahead and rattle them off.
Yeah, Dick Cavett's coming, which is
I'm floored by that. That's amazing.
I think it's awesome. Cinematic Titanic, which features Joel Hodgson and a bunch of the cast from Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Awesome.
Bill Corbett, also from MST3K, is doing a show. There's so much stuff. I don't know why I'm blanking on it now.
The Midnight Show is going to be there from
UCB.
Midnight
Show is going to be there, yep.
Yep. Do they have a host who's hosting with them?
Not. They haven't figured it out yet, but okay. They will.
I'm sure Mike Bush has something amazing up his sleeve. that Mike Bush.
That tells you.
Mm-hmm.
But there's all sorts of other stuff, too. Just
the Bebop Heroin Hour?
Yep. With our friend Jamie Flam.
Jamie Flam, who is trying to get me to do it. We'll see. I could be on the bill. You might actually see me perform as opposed to just doing this podcast and occasionally doing commercial auditions as a tear strolls down my eye. So yeah, that's coming up. I'm sure we'll matriculate, percolate into our conversation.
It could.
I don't even know. Holy shit. Okay, let's talk sports.
All right.
Besides UC Davis football. So last time we talked, there was a lot of buzz. For those of you don't know, Cole is a fan of all things of Detroit, and mm-hmm. this is admittedly so.
Yep, proudly.
Proudly a Detroit everything fan, which there are few and far between, including in the city of Detroit. But it was a big day last time you were on the show. There was the Lions beat their losing streak. That was a big day. The Tigers were still in contention for the playoffs.
Yep.
The Pistons were getting ready to ramp it up.
Yeah.
The Red Wings are getting ready to ramp it up.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just go ahead and check back in with all those things, okay?
You know the answer to these, Kenny Stevenson.
But yeah, I just want to make sure people, just in case people haven't been, you know, just for like, after that first podcast, we're like, I'm good. I don't want to know anything else until he has him back on the show. And now for the holiday show, because it's my Christmas gift to the fans is they demanded Cole Stratton, because I'm not kidding. You are the most downloaded podcast on my podcast. The Lions have won how many games since?
One.
Oh, okay.
So hey, 2-14 now is better than 0-16.
So your wins are also the number of quarterbacks that you've lost as well, isn't
it? Yes.
Both Matthew Stafford and Dante Culpepper done for the year?
Well, Culpepper is not hurt. We just benched him with his last game. So pretty much he's done, I think, in a Lions uniform. I think they'll go with Drew Stanton the rest of the way. At least they should until Stafford comes back, because the season's lost, and you know that Culpepper's not going to be in a Lions uniform next year. So you might as well see if your young guy is indeed a quality backup.
If I was him, I'd be like, you know what? Paying him for another couple games, I should just let him just go out there. Like, just have him play like punt return or something. Like, you know, wouldn't it be awesome if just like Culpepper line? I mean, he's built like a linebacker. You might as well just put him in like a, you know, nickel situations.
Or just have him kick field goals because Hansen's shaky all of a sudden.
Hansen, of course, for those of you who don't know, is probably their kicker, because I don't know.
Jason Hansen has been their kicker for 20 years.
The only name that comes in my mind is Curtis Hansen, the director of
LA Get Confidential.
Richard. I always go Get Rich or Die Trying, because he did direct that. That's Jim Sheridan. Curtis Hansen did 8 Mile.
One of those
rapper movies.
The Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
Really?
Yep.
You know what I learned today, which I found, I'm going to digress again. Do you know, Neil LaBute? The guy who...
The remake? Is that what you're talking about? The remake of Death at a Funeral?
Yes, that too. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, he's a successful Broadway director. He directed, if you look at some of the movies he's directed, he has directed an absolute, like, garbage movies.
Oh, yeah. Wicker Man.
The Wicker Man. He directed Lakeview Terrace.
Yep.
He's directed, like, some shitty films. He's, like, an amazing Broadway director. Anyway, that's actor talk for you guys. So the Lions are doing well, it's better than last year.
The problem is they're short in a lot of positions, but they have tons of injuries right now. So yeah. They're starting to put a few things together, but it's kind of, you know, floored till next year now.
Well, I'll tell you the one thing, that game against the Browns a couple weeks ago was pretty fantastic.
That was an awesome game.
That was an entertaining game. That was an NFL blitz. They led with that game on ESPN as the most exciting game of the day.
I believe it was. Matt Stafford showed that he was the real deal that game. He showed that
he can play. I think you gotta protect him. You can't just have him sitting behind the line getting pummeled all day. It's just not gonna do him any good. But yeah, he definitely. I think he and he, you know, even Sanchez to an extent. I think both rookie quarterbacks show that they can play in this league. They're gonna have to learn some stuff, but I think they both teams show that they made right choices by picking the guys that they did.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, what I liked best about that performance was, you know, he was totally injured, and yet he basically...
Oh, yeah, he went back in the game?
Yeah, he hid from the trainers, and he just said, put me in there, I can throw, because it wasn't on his throwing shoulder. And then he basically went in there, threw the last touchdown in the game, and won the thing. And he had five throwing touchdowns in that game. It was an NFL rookie record all time.
You know what I love, too, is because I really don't like Dante Culpepper, and to watch him go in for one play and then come right back out was awesome.
He didn't even get to run the play.
I know. It was awesome.
I was, like, thrilled that Cleveland called time out there. And that Stafford came back in. I was like, oh, this sucks. I mean, Stafford led him the whole way. Now Dante is going to come in and blow it. Come on.
Yeah, Dante. Okay, so the Lions are, they're. Let's just say that this year has already been a success.
In a sense.
You've doubled your win. You've got two times as many wins as last year. I mean, that's coaching. It's kind of like the end of the movie Summer School. Yeah, sure, they all failed the aptitude test, but they improved. And that's what he learned.
That's right.
You know what we're talking about?
Oh, I love summer school.
Mark, yeah, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Like, somebody went from like an 18 to a 55. I mean, that's an F but to an F, but that's 40% improvement.
That's right.
That's teaching, as the principal says. That's teaching. Anyway, that's Mark Harmon just got a residual check from that comment. Like he said, like
this,
he needs
this
it.
This is a little bit of a digression, too.
No, please.
You know how like, they make those neighborhoody sweatshirts where you can put anything you want on a sweatshirt? Like
yeah.
Any scene? Mm-hmm. For some reason, I decided it would be hilarious to have a sweatshirt that just said, fuck you, Mark Harmon. I have nothing against Mark Harmon. I like Mark Harmon. Summer School is one of my favorite movies. Like I, but just for some reason, it would just be the weirdest thing to wear. And people would be like, what's your problem with Mark Harmon?
We were putting together our wedding invitations, and no idea why I wanted to do this, but I wanted it to say when you open it up, I just wanted it to say, fuck off. Just kidding. That's what I wanted our wedding invitation to say. Nice. We were both like, my fiance and I, Dorian Davies, the beautiful Dorian Davies, we're both like legitimately like, I kind of would like that, but we know that we could never do that because like, it's going to be like old people going to be opening it like, oh, look, it's the invitation to the wedding. Oh, fuck off. How dare you?
Dear Congressman.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, yeah. Moving on down the Detroit line of failure. The Tigers traded away probably their best player, Granderson. Not only they traded him away to the Yankees. Now,
yeah, well, here's what happened.
Talk about the rich getting richer. That's awful.
Yeah, that is a direct result of them not making the postseason. They lost those postseason gates,
mm-hmm.
and that's literally what that was. They had to unload contracts and... that's what happened with that, which sucks because I love Granderson. And not only is he a great young player, yeah, he strikes out too much, he has a hard time with left-handed pitching. But outside of that, he's an amazing outfielder, plays a great center field. He's got his power numbers are up. He's got some speed. He's also, like, a great human being, heaven forbid.
No, I mean,
you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's great for the team. He's a great face for the community and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And just sucks. Like, I was bummed to see that. And I was bummed to see them not re-sign Polanco. And Evan Jackson they shipped off. So we'll see. I mean, they have young
would
players.
Would you go so far as to say that the Tigers are now rebuilding? Or do you think they can still actually be competitive this year?
I think they will be competitive still because they still have enough pieces and some mm-hmm. of these young guys could work out. And also, in their division, Minnesota loses the Dome. So
that's right. They're moving out into a park. It's
yeah.
like an actual park. Which makes sense.
So you can take away that 15 games that you spot the Twins every year from the turf. That's gone.
Well, plus the effed up ceiling in the Metrodome. I saw something a long time ago. I think it was when the Angels were playing the Twins, and it was during some playoff series. And they showed like it was a camera angle. The guy was like standing, cameraman was standing in center field, and they threw like a pop fly way up. And they asked the guy to follow it, and he couldn't.
Yeah,
he lost it in the lights.
You can't see it at all. It's
terrible.
This
is like a professional franchise plays. Like, yep. You gotta be kidding me right now.
It's terrible, and they built for that you know that dome. Their team was so I don't
mm-hmm.
know how well they're gonna fare outdoors, so
we'll see. And then who else in the Central get? Well, the Royals are done by the time they start playing baseball, and then actually they're done from the second that pitchers and catchers show up, which is like in 2 weeks, which drives me nuts. My biggest beef with baseball is the season's way too long, and it went all the way into November, and then they're gonna be starting in like early February. It's like a three
well, that's
like
the
a
problem
two and a half month
too,
break. It's ridiculous.
Is it's so long that like they have to make the first round of the playoffs like five games instead of seven, which is ridiculous because you spend so long, 182 games getting there, and then you lose three,
you're done.
You're done.
It's dumb. It's stupid.
So they should at least, you know, shorten the season by a week or so, but then they say, oh, they need those gates, blah, blah, blah. They
don't need shit.
That.
Basically,
I mean,
I'll go off on a tangent for a second, sports related. They need those gates because if they do 81 home games at Yankee Stadium and Fenway Park and Dodger Stadium and Angel Stadium, and, you know, for the most part, like, I mean, maybe the Twins, but, like, those teams that sell out every game and can charge, like, high prices for their tickets, they pay for every other team to play. So, like, it's almost like baseball has to have the Yankees have 81 home games so that the rest of the league can even... field teams.
So you're basically telling me that the Tampa Bay Rays aren't filling it up?
No, fuck. Tropicana Field. That's something I want to get on for a second, just for a sports tangent. Now, I know you're not a big college football fan. You like Michigan State, but that's about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I follow.
Do you follow bowl season at all?
A little bit.
Because I'm in this big... I'm going to show you my piece of paper talking about my betting this time.
Hey,
I'm in a big thing where it's we pick winners... And of course, betting, of course, is not legal in California. So this is a friendly wagering, and we pick a winner for every game, every bowl.
Uh-huh.
So then it makes the like the smaller bowls interesting. But some of these bowls are like the like I love the idea of bowls. Like I love the idea of like, you know, yeah, give them one more game. You guys had a pretty, you know, you weren't like national champion, but you had a good year. So here, we'll take you out. Like we'll take you to some like cool city, and the city will host you and give you like, you know, some swag and like take you out to some dinner and, you know, give you like a nice like experience. And then you go play a football game. I like that. But like they've become so ridiculous with like the corporate sponsors that sponsors the game. So there was a game, and this is, I don't know why I'm looking at this. I know what it's called. The name, I'm forgetting it. The St. Petersburg Bowl was like the St. Petersburg Bowl by like Big Beefy or something. Like it was like sponsored by some like steakhouse that's like in the South. And like that was the actual name of the bowl. It's like every time it was like, welcome back to the St. Petersburg Bowl by Big Beefy or whatever. That was like the full, and they say it every time. And like, and there was a bowl tonight that was called, it was called the Las Vegas Bowl, but now it's called the Mako Bowl Las Vegas. As if there's like several Mako Bowls and they're like, tonight's just the one in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Like, I mean, I get it. You want, if you're an advertiser, you want to have your name associated with this or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. But like, it's not like somebody's like, the Midas Bowl. Oh, I gotta go get my brakes done right now. You know what I mean? Like,
you'd be surprised. Like, I'm sure Joe Idiot who lives in Nebraska is like, you know what? Like, there's a bowl. And this is for real. It's in Pontiac, Michigan. I believe is that where Pontiac is? It's in Michigan.
It's
what,
in Michigan.
What facility is there to host a game? Is that where the Ford Field is?
Could be Ford Field. Yeah.
Okay, this bowl is called the Little Caesars Bowl. Now, at this point, you are at,
well, it's probably the Pontiac Silverdome. Now that I think about it.
Okay, so when you're at this, when you're watching, you're gonna see probably 900 commercials for Little Caesars. There's gotta be one asshole who's gonna be sitting at home who's gonna be like, you know what? I kind of go for a pizza right now.
Well, to tell you the truth, every, because I watch all the Detroit games, it's on Fox Sports Detroit most of the time, there's Little Caesars commercials every 10 seconds. Because
okay, so, yeah.
Mike Ilitch owns Little Caesars, and he owns like the Tigers and the Red Wings and all that stuff. It's just constant.
Well, I just want to make it known that just for the record, the Little Caesars Bowl is not the only pizza-named bowl. We also have the PapaJohns.com Bowl, which is in Birmingham, Alabama. And, like, they had one last year, but I guess it's not happening this year. But they had one that was, like, it was literally called, like, the helicopter, like, the something-something helicopter armed forces bowl. And, like, some helicopter company is, like, sponsoring.
What? I don't get it. What is wrong with just calling it, like, you know, the Kiwi Bowl presented by Midas? You know what I mean? Something like that.
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, some of those are, like the Rose Bowl. It's, like, the Orange Bowl presented by Citibank is what they do.
Yeah,
they,
which I think is fine.
So
and
do
the
I.
The only reason they do that is because those are, like, the big historic bowls. Mm-hmm. They're not going to mess with, and they keep inventing bowls. I just wish they would invent bowls with like a cool name.
The Meineke Car Care Bowl, or like the RL Carriers New Orleans Bowl. It's like, wow. I mean, these aren't even the proper names. This is what my brother-in-law named them. But the International Bowl is also a personal favorite of mine because they play it in Toronto.
Oh, that's international, my friend.
But to me, like, I'm gonna digress for a second again because I love to digress. That's what this whole show is about: digressions. Is I love that the International Bowl, like, they, what they should do is they should make them play Canadian rules football up there.
Oh, no.
Which is what they should do. But they should make them play 12-on-12, make them play on the wider field and play three downs. That's what they should do, but they don't because Canadians are just, like, such pushovers to Americans. Like, grow some backbones, Canadians. Like, we're gonna have a bowl. You're gonna play 12-man football, you Yankees.
You're going to get so many Canadian complaint emails.
I know. Well, bring it on, Canucks.
Good day,
eh? Oh, good day, eh? And how, I, you know what, I actually went to the GMAC Bowl because I had a job where I was traveling across the country working at college football games about 5 or 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in Mobile, Alabama.
Nice.
And it's like, you know, Mobile's kind of a nice, like, downtown area, but, like, the stadium where the game is, like, not that nice. And it's like, God, if I was like Central Michigan or Troy, I guess those people must love to go there. But if I was like like Notre Dame was going to go to this game, if they actually decided to go to a bowl game, it was going to be possibly the GMAC Bowl. I'm like, Notre Dame would not enjoy going to Mobile, Alabama. We just, and I say we because I'm a fan and I can do that. So, anywho, I digress again. So, just to hit the Detroit trifecta here,
yep,
of amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The Detroit Pistons.
Yes.
Are actually, I will give you guys this, because I watched the Lakers-Detroit game, because I'm a Laker fan. And they got a lot of spunk. They do. But those injuries are hitting them really hard right off the gate.
They have a lot of hard injuries, bad injuries. They were really bad, and then they won five straight and kind of popped back up towards 500. But there's definitely – I mean, they'll put it back together and people come back. I mean, you're with, when you're without Tayshaun Prince, Rip Hamilton.
And Ben Gordon.
And Ben Gordon, like, well, yeah, you're going to struggle.
Yeah, when you're rolling out, like, Austin Day, who is, like, an undrafted rookie out of Gonzaga. Don't get me wrong, he's a nice player, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, those guys are starting.
Yeah, when you're playing Austin Day big minutes guarding Kobe Bryant, I'm sorry, you're fucked.
I will say this, though. Ben Wallace is surprisingly good.
I don't know what it is when you put Ben Wallace back in the great state of, you know, Detroit and the Motor City. He just, it's like, you know, he's just put new engine in or something. Because during the playoffs last year for the Cleveland Cavaliers, he was terrible.
Yeah, he's been terrible since he left Detroit.
He looked like he was a guy that was like, they were like, he's done. Like, he can't play the game anymore. And then when I saw Detroit signed him, I was like, well, they must be just like doing like a Kareem style, like, let's just parade him around before he retires.
To me, that was, we only have Kwame Brown in the middle. Oh, dear God, we must get somebody else in there. You know,
we had Kwame Brown for the Lakers for a couple years.
Oh, I know.
That trade, we could have still had, if we wouldn't have traded Kwame Brown. Although, I guess he got us Pau Gasol, so in the end, whatever, it all worked out. But we traded away Caron Butler to get Kwame Brown. I was just like, really? Like, I guess at the time, I was like, oh, you know, he's a first-round pick, and, you know, he could maybe turn it around. But I'm like, no. You know what? He can't.
He has terrible hands. Terrible hands.
He has small hands.
Ball goes through him all the time. His constant turnovers.
His balls go through him all the time. Hey-o.
The thing that sucks for him, though, is every single commentator is constantly like, always saying that, like, Kwame Brown, who was washed out in this league, who's not lived up to his potential, it's just like, okay, we get it.
Yeah.
He was this big prospect. He hasn't panned out. He's still playing.
I know, exactly. No,
he's not starting.
It's the same thing with, like, a couple of weeks ago, like, Alex Smith. Alex Smith has been playing well for the 49ers.
Right.
And it's like, he has one good game, and it's like, is this the moment that Alex Smith has finally figured it out? It's like, you know what? Maybe he was wrong. I mean, just let him play. I mean, he's not going to live up to his first round draft pick status. Yes, but you know what? He's still in the league. There's a lot of really shitty first round draft picks who are like smoking crack right now with Michael Olowokandi, okay? So there's no reason why. I mean, Kwame Brown has played now for almost 10 years. It's like, you know what? He's made a lot of money. He's been playing a game, so, and he does some things well. He can defend well in the post, and he can, you know, he can rebound pretty well, defensive rebounds, not offensive. You do put anything that involving him putting the ball in the basket, it just blows his mind.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, he can play, and just, you know, leave him alone.
Exactly.
Leave Kwame Brown alone, America.
He shouldn't be starting for you. He should be coming off your bench and being a complimentary player, and that's all he can do.
Why not? So I agree. I actually feel like if the Pistons can get some guys healthy, they could be competitive, because the East, you know, whatever. The East is the East. It's not a stronger conference between the two conferences. I mean, you got a lot of teams that are, I mean, there's some surprising teams in the East, but I think most of them being the Hawks. But I think for the most part, like, you go beyond the Hawks, the Celtics, and the Cavaliers, it's pretty, in Orlando.
Though I feel like a couple years ago, it kind of swung from the West to the East for a brief moment or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely transferring back over, because it was the West dominant forever.
Well, it's been the West forever. I think the West is still, but I would say there are at least, whereas when the Spurs played the Cavs in the finals, I mean, that was like when the East was like an absolutely subpar league. Like, there is no way if the Cavaliers would have had to go through who the Spurs had to go through to get to the finals, they never would have made it. It was just, they never would have happened, and they were swept, and they should have been swept. They were totally in over their heads. But I think now it's like a couple of years later, it's, yeah, you know, the Magic are really good. The Celtics are really good.
Yep.
And the Cavaliers are pretty good. I think, you know, getting Shaq is Shaq's done. He needs to just, you know, make his Shaq versus. There's another, talk about comments that are way too old. I'm tired of hearing comments about Shaq being an actor. Like, Shaq and his movies and his rap albums. Like, he hasn't made a rap album or a movie in like 10, 12 years.
It's
like, no, he's not an actor anymore. Like, don't be like, well, you know, Shaq with all of his extracurricular activities. I'm like, what, like charity work? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Nestle Crunch commercials?
Those are good. And his Shaq Versus show, which he gives credit to Steve Nash. Anywho, okay, so now's the time in the show when we are going to pick the NFL games of the week. Everyone loves this part of the show, too. That's the feedback I get.
Yeah, they love this the most.
They do. Although they still have NFL.com. How dare you? They still, we want to get ready for this week. They still have last week's games up.
How dare they?
Sons of bitches.
And by the way, Detroit almost beat Arizona. It almost happened.
It was a good game. Well, I mean, as I blogged about in the blog, in the blogosphere that it goes along with Knuckle Sandwich at knucklesandwich.org, I call the Arizona Cardinals the Delonte West of professional sports. And that they're bipolar. That's the joke. That's the joke there. You're welcome.
Well played.
Well, I like to think so. So, big time for myself. The games kick off Christmas Day. 7:30 p.m. Eastern time, which we're going to get because apparently that's the only thing that matters at NFL.com is when the Eastern games come on.
Of course.
Fuck you, West Coast. At 4:30 Pacific Standard Time, the Chargers take on the Tennessee Titans. I, of course, am a big Chargers fan. Mm-hmm. They've won 9 games in a row.
Yes.
They are rolling. However, this game is in Tennessee, and it's going to be like 37 degrees outside, which, by the way, it was the Chargers just played at home against the Bengals. It was 80 degrees.
Yep.
So it's going to be a little bit of a shock. And so if I think there's definitely a chance Tennessee can pull this game, this upset. San Diego doesn't have a ton to play for because if the Patriots lose, then they basically have to win one of the next two games to lock up the second seed. But if the Patriots lose one of the next two games, then they'll lock it up regardless. So I want to say that as a Charger fan, they're going to win this game. But I will say that I would not be surprised if they lost.
Yeah, I think it's almost a coin toss, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's going
to
be that.
Be honest. I want you to be honest. Do not.
I'm not going
to
lie.
Do not fucking bullshit me about
this. I'm not going to bullshit about you.
Okay.
I tend to, this time of year, just favor the home teams for the most part because they're used to playing in that. So I might say Tennessee will pull this off.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Let's lead us to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers versus the New Orleans Saints. The 13-1 New Orleans Saints, they just lost.
That's right.
I think they're going to absolutely kick the shit out of this team.
If they hadn't lost, they would still kick the shit out of this team.
Yeah, but I think if they roll out Mark Brunell, if they wheel him out, because he's 95 years old as the backup quarterback, Mark Brunell would still go out there and kick the shit out of
this team. I am happy that Tampa Bay beat Seattle last week, so now they have 2 victories as well as the Lions and Cleveland, so there's a good chance that the Lions may have the number one pick again.
Who do you guys take with number one pick? Jimmy Clausen? No, you guys don't take him.
I don't know who we take, to be honest. We need a running back, so...
Toby Gerhart. Which I will say, since I don't think I've had a podcast since the Heisman Trophy candidate. I'm just kidding. This is my own beef for the moment. Toby Gerhart had like 11 more rushing touchdowns than Mark Ingram, and like had like over like 300 more yards. Like he was the number one running, he was number one running back in like 4 or 5 different categories, and in some of those categories, he was like 10 or 12 like notches above the person who won. I just want to put that out there. Just saying. Right. I'm not a Stanford fan. I'm not a Toby Gerhart fan. I'm just saying it's glaringly obvious who should have won the award on paper. But the fucking West Coast or the East Coast, like Southeast Conference bias. Anyway, I digress. Kansas City versus the Cincinnati Bengals. I got to think the Bengals will win this game.
I think the Bengals
after
will
losing.
Win
and it's been a really tough week, but I feel like Kansas City is just so bad. But actually, you know what? I will say this. Kansas City has played better. And all the really shitty teams have played better. They've been competitive.
Right.
Towards the end, there hasn't been that many teams, with exception of the Rams, that have really just are just genuinely awful.
Right.
And Kansas City at least has been competitive, but I don't think they win this game.
I don't either. I think Cincinnati pulls that out.
Fantastic. So this is a wonderful game coming up here. The Jacksonville Jaguars, who are now 7-7, I believe, versus the New England Patriots, who are 8-5. God, look at this knowledge I'm dropping. I'm not even fucking looking at any kind of stats. And they're
crazy.
Not. You know, I honestly, they're 9-5. They are 9-5. The Patriots are. So that might not be right. But we'll whatever.
Yeah, they did
go
beat Buffalo this past week.
Check the fucking stats. I don't know. This is in New England. It's probably going to be snowing.
I think Jacksonville wins it. I'll be honest with you. Tom Brady sucked lately. He's not looked like Tom Brady.
Is Tom Brady your fantasy quarterback? Is that
no?
Why?
He's my brother's fantasy quarterback. he's not mine, but I feel like Jacksonville's going to pull that game off. I don't think New England's playing with any heart or any urgency, and I think that's going to come back to bite them.
I get that, and I get what you're saying. I think that's definitely, but I do kind of see this game as a coin toss, and here's why, is because if it's going to be cold, and Jacksonville is like San Diego, because Jacksonville, even though it gets cold, it's not as cold as it's going to be in New England. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be
no,
cold,
true.
And For whatever reason, Tom Brady plays, and the Patriots play really well when it's freezing outside. I mean, they beat, when it was snowing, they beat the Titans, whatever, 59-0. So it's like, I think, you know, they still have a lot to play for. I believe if they win the game, they may clinch the division. So I actually think the Patriots are going to win this game. So we
disagree on that one there.
Oh, well.
We'll see.
Anywho, loser shaves their beard. Panthers versus the Giants. Panthers beat the Vikings last week, which I found very surprising.
Sure did.
But
they actually utilized Steve Smith. Finally.
Also on your fantasy team. I'm assuming he is on your fantasy team. Fantastic. I meant to the Giants, though. I think the Giants, I watched a little bit of the game last night, and they're just, I think they look really, really good.
The Giants are my ex-defense. I dropped them because after the fifth week, they started allowing everyone to score.
That's what they do. That's what they do. They take a lot of pride in their Matador defense.
Yeah, that's what it turned into.
Yeah.
I think it's because it's in New York. I think the Giants will win that game.
Fantastic. I did not know that the Miami is apparently called the Landshark Stadium. That's absolutely fantastic. But this actually is also a pretty interesting game. Houston and Miami, I think both teams are 7-7.
Yeah.
And are still in the playoff hunt for the wild card. That's a really great game.
I agree with you there. It's surprising me that Ricky Williams is actually effective.
You know what? I was thinking about it the other day, and I was like, because somebody was saying this, and I was thinking about the same thing can be applied to Grant Hill, because Grant Hill was like playing really well for the Suns right now and has a bunch of energy. I'm like, you know what? Those guys, like Ricky Williams and Grant Hill, they weren't playing for like 3 or 4 years when like other guys were putting, like, especially as a running back with Ricky Williams, we're just putting just a tremendous pounding on their body, and they weren't doing that. So they've had those years. So they're actually, even though like Ricky Williams is like 32, he's probably like, in terms of football age, he's like 29. He still has a bunch of tread on the tires, if you will.
as they say.
So it's like, yeah, but he is playing out of his mind, and Chad Henne's actually playing really well. But Houston's playing well because Matt Schaub's been healthy all year. This little spot in the screen.
That is true.
I don't know. I'm going to go off my gut here and say the Dolphins win, only because it's at home.
Yeah, I say that too. And Houston kind of broke my heart because I had Owen Daniels.
Plus, the city of Houston is just a gorgeous place. It is. Anytime you leave, it's heartbreaking.
It is tough. Yeah, Miami wins that, I think.
Okay, so we move on. I think this is an easy one. Green Bay, Seattle at Green Bay. Seattle is thrown in the towel, apparently.
Seattle is terrible.
And Green Bay is actually playing quite well.
You know who I have on my fantasy team from
Seattle? Matt Hasselbeck?
No, I have TJ, who's the man they don't throw to.
Oh, my God. Can we write that down and like send that to Chris Berman? Just so we can go, hey, TJ, who's the man you don't throw to? I'm sorry. I think Chris Berman's like 2 shots away from being really, really belligerent on TV at all times.
There you go. Back what? To the bar.
Oh, it's fantastic. So, yeah, obviously Green Bay wins that game. They're playing. Yep. They're actually playing very well as well. Which, actually, I believe if they win and Minnesota loses, they actually are tied. I believe that Green Bay is 10-4 and Minnesota is 11-3.
Yeah.
Brett Favre. Anywho, I love me some Favre. This is a wonderful game for no one. Raiders versus the Browns, and Jamarcus Russell might actually have to start this game. I love that Oakland, they benched him, and they were playing well under Gronkowski.
Yep.
Gronkowski gets injured, they put him in the game, and Jamarcus Russell sucks. Then they bench him the following week. You would think he would just start. No.
Yep.
They move Charlie Fry from the third string to start. And then they signed J.P. Lossman from the UFL, big proponent of the UFL on the blog.
They've added Andre Ware as a backup.
Yeah, everyone. Rick Meyer's coming back. But so Charlie Fry goes down, and they have to put Jamarcus in. He actually wins the game for them, which is amazing. So I would have to think that they were going to start. Like, if J.P. Lossman starts this week, Jamarcus Russell is absolutely done. I mean, he's teetering on being done anyway.
Agreed.
But I do know that Brady Quinn is also out for the season with a foot injury, so that means that Derek Anderson will play. They were playing pretty well under Brady Quinn. I don't know. This is a toss-up. I'm going to say it's at Cleveland. I'm going to say Cleveland wins.
I'm going to say Cleveland just because they play in Cleveland Browns Stadium. And that, to me, is refreshing.
It is very refreshing.
It's not the Depends Undergarment Arena.
Well, much like the next one, Baltimore versus Pittsburgh at Heinz Field. And that's not named after Hines, but that's named after Hines
What's
ketchup.
Tough is they're contractually obligated to only get 57 yards rushing.
I'm assuming that you have a so who's on your who no, running back?
I don't know. I was just saying 57 Hines. Never mind.
Oh, look at you! Oh my god! You got a great joke. It just went right over my head because I don't know my ketchup humor.
Yeah, I'm just big on ketchup references.
Oh, I know. Don't get me started. But don't get me started on your amazing array of ketchup.
It's a good thing there's not a stadium named after fancy mustards.
Hey,
we would be here all night.
Hey, yo. I'm going to take Pittsburgh played pretty well last week. I'm going to take Baltimore.
I'm going to take Baltimore also. I don't think Pittsburgh is that great.
Fantastic. The Georgia Dome, where the Buffalo Bills will be playing against the Atlanta Falcons. Matt Ryan is playing again, and Buffalo is,
terrible.
I believe,
I
playing Ryan. This is hilarious. Another hilarious too. Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing over Trent Edwards. They put Trent Edwards in for like two plays and got hurt again. So now they got Ryan Fitzpatrick from Harvard. You got an Ivy League quarterback playing for you. I'm going to say that there's no chance. I'm going to say Atlanta wins this game.
Yeah, I am too. And the Bills are just, not only are they terrible, they're not even entertaining to watch.
No, they're not. Fuck
bad.
Them. Anyway, anywho, a future guest on the show is a big Bills fan, so I'm going to have to talk about it, so I should probably get used to it at some point. Anywho, at the worst named stadium, the University of Phoenix Stadium, an online fucking college, has its own fucking stadium. The St. Louis Cardinals... Jesus Christ.
That would be pretty entertaining, right? You know, Pujols.
Amazing. I know. They'd probably put up more of a fight than the St. Louis Rams. St. Louis Rams versus the Arizona Cardinals. I've got to figure Arizona just, this isn't even a
contest. Yeah, well, and they need to
Matt
make sure
Leinart
they...
gets a lot of playing time in this game.
They need to make sure they keep winning and wrapping things up, so...
Yeah, I think they already have the division. I think they could actually still have a chance to actually get home field event, get the bye, which they'll play for.
Right.
Your Lions versus at Candlestick Park. They went back to Candlestick Park. It was 3-0, and then Monster. Is it back to Candlestick now?
Yeah, to Candlestick, I guess.
Fantastic. Just because it's you, and I can't. I think the 49ers win this game.
Well, I do too. I mean, if it was the other way around, if it was in Detroit and Stafford was healthy, then it gave us a fighting chance. But it's most likely going to not be Stafford, so I don't think...
And Alex Smith actually is playing decent football. At Lincoln Financial Field, I'm going to just keep mentioning these so that way we can maybe get some kickbacks. At Lincoln Financial Field, Lincoln, the biggest no-brainer in business. I don't know. That's what they do, the biggest no-brainer in mankind. That's what they say. This is hour 12 of the show. Let's hurry it up here. Lincoln Financial Field, the Broncos versus the Eagles. The Eagles are playing very well right now. What's his face? DeSean Jackson is an absolute stud. I'm going to say, and the Denver coming off the amazing loss to the Jamarcus Russell-led Raiders.
Yes.
And they're going to be, it's at Philadelphia, it's going to be minus 40 degrees. I'm going to say the Eagles took this game.
Yeah, I think so too, but I think it's going to be, for that kind of inclement weather, it's going to be more of a shootout than you think it's going to be.
Oh, absolutely.
I feel like the points are going to come up.
Philadelphia's running game isn't that strong right now, so they have to throw the ball.
Sean Moreno's, decent for Denver. I feel like he's going to break out one of these days. So.
Fantastic. And the second worst named stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium. That's like, because it just screams like big business asshole, like runs this team, but that's just me.
But
anyway.
However, if it was Lorenzo's Oil Stadium,
oh, then he would, absolutely.
It would be the saddest of all stadiums.
It would be. It'd be very hard, but it'd be fun. It'd be at least a little more,
invested emotionally.
Yeah. Oh, God. Tearing at my heartstrings. New York Jets versus the Colts. The big talk here is Peyton going to play? Are they going to play the starters? I think Peyton plays this game. I think he plays at least a half, and I think that's all they're going to need to really beat the Jets.
I do too, and I feel like Indy is quietly dominating in the league right now. Like, they win every week. Even when they get down, they come back and they find a way to win it. And so I feel like teams like the Saints are kind of like on their way on a downswing. And maybe that loss is a good thing for them to rebound from.
I would think so, too. Yeah.
But I think going into the postseason, like, Indy's the team to watch, honestly.
Yeah, I think that they're good. They are on both sides of the ball. They run the ball. They throw it. Peyton Manning. I mean, they're everything. And they've been there, and they're poised. They're just – they're a really good football team.
Yep.
So cheers to everyone involved with that game. Dallas versus the Redskins at FedEx Field. FedEx, for all your shipping needs.
Can they ship the Redskins a better quarterback or something?
Oh, hey-o. I believe Mike Shanahan is coming in overnight. I'm going to say that the Cowboys actually are playing well. I believe that Tony Romo is quietly... They've won a game in December. They're like 10-4. Or maybe 9-5. That they're like... They're quietly, when everyone kind of wrote them off, they kind of put together some nice wins. They've got a nice receiver in Miles Austin. And Washington is just really, really bad. I have to think the Cowboys win this game.
That's another thing that hurt me even fantasy-wise is Marion Barber's been a bum all season. I finally bench him and he gets two touchdowns.
Well, that's what happens. Thanks, we get Marion. The three-headed monster that is Felix Jones, Marion Barber, and that third guy.
Yep.
And for the Monday night game, that third guy just turned this podcast off. The Vikings at the Bears. The Bears are really bad this season. Jay Cutler, I love that he's just sucking ass. I love that. Brett Favre, I think he's getting a little bit tired. I actually want to see Brett Favre play well into the playoffs. So I actually do think that they may actually rest him a little bit during this game. I think they're going to try to run the ball a lot with Adrian Peterson and their defense. I don't know. I think Minnesota wins the game.
Yeah, I think so too. And I feel like they're going to play some urgency in this game anyways. They're going to wrap it up early.
Such analysis. That was amazing. Okay, so I normally at this point play Would You Rather, which we played last time.
Yes.
And the questions haven't changed.
Oh boy.
But I'm not going to play it again because you know what the answers are. I know you're going to. I know you're going to take a role on the Kelsey Grammer show, which is out off the air. I know you're going to do. You're going to take Hannah Montana, but you will if Dane Cook. It's a buddy movie with Dane Cook, the Lions in the Super Bowl. So what I thought I would do is ask you what is the one thing with it being the holiday show, and since we're both from Judeo-Christian backgrounds. I would assume, and now you're not Jewish, or black for that matter, to celebrate Kwanzaa, or Wiccan. I'm assuming you celebrate Christmas. And I wanted to ask you, what is the one thing that you want for Christmas this year?
Wow, the one thing I want for Christmas?
And that can be anything. And don't be like cheesy, like for the Lions to win the Super Bowl, because it's not going to happen.
Honestly...
But you can be anything, I don't care.
The one thing I want for Christmas this year...
I know, it's a curveball, huh?
It really is. Peace on earth. Goodwill towards...
Fuck you.
Honestly, I want everything to stay intact in my festival.
Yes.
And have it be smooth sailing through January, because it's honestly like that's how I support myself outside of acting, is with my festival doing well. So,
I think that segues beautiful into the SF Sketch Fest, which is start because we're going to wrap it up. We're going to do a plug at the beginning, plug at the end. SF Sketch Fest begins January 14th, is that what you said?
Yeah, January 14th through February 2nd.
And it's... Shows are usually Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Is that right? Or is it?
They go every night, every day.
Monday night. Oh, that's right. Okay, yes, I did a Wednesday show a couple of years ago. I remember. So it's an amazing time. You really can't go wrong. Like, there really isn't. Like, even if you go to like, you know, one of the smaller venues, or you can't get into the Conan O'Brien thing. There's like three other shows happening at the same time that are just as cool. They're all in great venues. It's an amazing city to have a festival in because it's so compact, and you can go see a show, you can go to a bar afterwards and hang out, and you can just really just have a really just a great experience no matter, you know, how many days you go up there.
That's my plug.
I think it's
a good time. It's a labor of love. It's independently run by three people, so
which is amazing. And it, you know, it's grown from such small starting to be, I mean, it's it, with HBO not having Aspen, I would say it is probably like it's the new Aspen Comedy Festival, because, you know, the Montreal Comedy Festival is a little bit commercial, and HBO does their comedy festival, which is like all huge acts. They don't really do any like what you would call alt comics, I guess. But your festival has everything. It's got big name comics, it's got up and coming comics, it's got sketch groups, improv, move—I mean, everything. It's just an amazing festival.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, that's definitely what.
Take my mouth off your dick. And
that's definitely what I'd want for Christmas. That or the government to outlaw autotune.
Oh, yes, or Ed Hardy clothes.
Yes,
or Ed Hardy. That would be a great little bill to pass. So, are you still performing? Do we have any shows we need to plug anytime soon?
I'm still in Bruce over at Westside. Mm-hmm. We're up every other Monday, more or less.
Fantastic.
Yeah, that's about it. Just gearing up for the fest. So,
happy holidays, everyone. Please go to iTunes. You can type in Knuckle Sandwich. It'll come up. Go to the website, knucklesandwich.org. And Cole Stratton, thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kenny.
Okay, Merry Christmas. Happy Kwanzaa. Happy Hanukkah, which has already happened, or Solstice. What else am I missing? Festivus?
Happy Appreciation of Pinkerton.
This 17 years from now, this will be playing, and everyone will be sampling this, and the Dust Brothers are going to do a remix of it just so they can commemorate the Paul's Boutique. Anyway, thanks for listening.